Thank you, Catherine. I just got the school's out for summer going on in my head right now. But let's be mature and read the scripture, shall we? Our Old Testament lesson is from the sixth chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, and with two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And our New Testament lesson is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, reading verses 12 through 17. "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today is Trinity Sunday, and it is the Sunday always right after Pentecost, because Pentecost is when the church receives the Holy Spirit, and so now we can talk about the triune God, one God, three persons. And I really appreciate Dr. Tanner Capps and Reverend Cynthia Purvis for the last two Sundays, of course, getting us to this point. And especially that idea of being able to hear each other speak in their languages from last week, and thinking about how important it is for us all to be able to speak. We all have different experiences and we all have different backgrounds. And so we speak a language that somebody else beside us may not speak. It's the whole body of Christ saying, "The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you." But there are people out there who need to hear the gospel in the language that you speak. That's so unique. And so today with Trinity Sunday, we're really talking about what happens after the whole of God is revealed. Because, you know, the earliest revelations of God, it was kind of like what Isaiah said in that first thing. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty. And that was sort of the Old Testament perception of God. God's kind of way up there and lofty, creator. And so they put a lot of human attributes on God, just the way, you know, when the Greeks did all their gods and the Romans did all their gods. They were basically humans who acted up in the atmosphere. But the Israelites also put some human attributes on God. And then when God became flesh, incarnate, Jesus incarnate, that changed. And we saw something we didn't expect. And it was unsettling to everyone. But we saw God saying, this is how I live. If I'm a human being, this is how God lives as a human being. And then when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the people at Pentecost, it's like everybody has the Spirit of Jesus in them. And why? Why? To empower us for ministry. And so we're all called. Every single person listening today is called. And it doesn't matter if, you know, you're busy. It doesn't matter if you are sick. It doesn't matter if you're really old or really, really young or really busy. God is calling you. God's calling me. And our question is, the crazy thing, it keeps on happening. It keeps happening. It's not one call in your life and you're done. It keeps on happening. And so now, with the Holy Spirit being, you know, Pentecost was last Sunday, now we have Trinity Sunday. The question is, you know, what are we being called to this day? No matter what our circumstances are. And a lot of people come to church. Maybe you were one of them. Come to church to grow in your faith. That's a good reason to grow, to be nurtured in faith. And we try to get a lot of Bible study and, you know, a devotional life and prayer. But the other part is exercising your faith, of getting out there and walking and following Christ and doing ministry. It's like if all you did was eat and never exercise, you wouldn't really be a very healthy person. And just the same thing's true in our spiritual life. We need to walk. We need to be doing ministry, and those ministries change. And I tell you what, I look back on the different ministries that I felt called to in my life, and every single one of them, I was scared because I did not know what I was getting into. Now, one of the first ones I can remember was when I was in college, and we were going down to St. Pete, Florida, to have this street ministry, and we were going to witness to people on the beach in Clearwater Beach, Florida. I grew up in Laurel Hill. You know, 2 years earlier, I was going to church in the Pines. I didn't know what witnessing to people on the beach was. You know, I'd never done it. And I was afraid. And I talked one time about Palm Sunday, about going into the village ahead of you, where you know, Jesus lets us go ahead of him into things that we're not familiar with. Of going, being a chaplain in an urban hospital, Grady Hospital in Atlanta. And the first day when I went up on that floor, how terrified I was. And I was sitting there and I spent 15 minutes looking through patient charts because I didn't want to do anything. And that's normal. And I want us to look at these scriptures today, both Isaiah's passage and the Romans passage, to look at the three ways we have choices of focusing, okay? If you take notes on sermons, this is an easy one because there's 3 points, a little quote at the end, but it's 3 points, and it's all about the three choices we have to focus, all right? I want us to be able to get from this place of not being sure whether we want to follow God into something to where we are, where Isaiah is, where he says, here I am, send me. That's where we're trying to get to, all right? So how do we get there? All right, there's 3 choices, and the first one I want us to look at, we can focus, and they're all 3 have to do with focus. The first choice is that we can focus on our faults and our fears. That is a choice you have. When you feel God's call to ministry, you can just focus on what's wrong with you and your faults and your fears. It was a famous thing. Even Moses, you know, when God called Moses, Moses argued the whole time about, hey, I'm not a good speaker. You know, you need to get somebody else. Obviously, I'm not good, you know. Even Peter goes to Jesus and says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And here, look at what happens with Isaiah. You know, he's confronted with the glory of God, and the first thing that he comes up to is he says, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. You know, I mean, it's like he's saying, you know, I cuss. I'm a cusser. I let it fly. I throw F-bombs all the time. This is what I am. I'm a cusser. God can't use me, you know, because of this. I'm a man of unclean lips. And that is the first thing that happens, is that we want to put up in front. The reason we can't follow God is because of the faults we have in our personality. Our personality faults. No, you know, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. And the other is our fears. And Catherine said this in the children's sermon. The fears we have, because it's an unknown territory. When God is calling us, you know, there's not much of a roadmap there. You know that song, the verse, "Thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." You can see the next step with that lamp, with that light to your feet, and the general way the road goes with those lamps up there. But you don't see the whole detail of what's in front of you. God is calling you to be obedient and to follow and to have a ministry, but you don't get to know it all. And some of us like to know it all. You know, we like to have it all figured out before we take a step. And so we can focus on our faults. We can focus on our fears. In the Romans passage, Paul, I don't know how much of you were in the Bible study last year, remember about Romans, but Paul was writing, had never been to Rome. All the other letters he writes to the Philippians and Galatians, all that, he's been there. He's kind of their pastor. He gets upset with stuff they're doing. When he writes to Rome, writes to the Romans, he's never been there, and this is his calling card, because he wants to base himself in Rome so he can be a missionary to Spain. And so he's sending them this kind of like compilation of, this is what I believe. And so it's a great book, because it tells the theology that he's worked out of what Jesus meant and what it means to follow Christ. And he says, "We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." That's in verse 12. And I think that's that first point, is that if we focus on our flesh, if we focus on our faults, we focus on what's wrong with us, on what weaknesses we have, if all we think about is how we are afraid and we're not worthy and we can't follow Jesus, we're never going to get anywhere. I struggle with this all the time about being a pastor. I really do, because I was in business, you know, for 10 years, and being a pastor is different than being in business. And I don't feel worthy of it a lot of the time. But we have to get over that. That's a choice. It's a choice to focus. You can focus on that or not. Now, I'm going to give you two focuses that you can do instead, all right? So one choice is to focus on your faults and fears. Two, we can focus instead on our forgiveness. Instead of focusing on our faults and fears, we can focus on our forgiveness. And I want to look at that verse 7, you know, the seraph touches his mouth with a coal and says, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." So what brings Isaiah from feeling like he can't do anything, he can't be a prophet, that he's a man, that what defined him was he was a man of unclean lips from a people of unclean lips. What got him to where he said, "Here I am, send me," was this middle section where he found forgiveness for being that. That the seraph said, "Your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." And it's the same thing in the 16th verse where Paul says, "It is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And that is the focus. If you can focus on being the child of God, of being forgiven, rather than on your faults and your fears, then you can, you just like Isaiah, you can follow what God is calling you to, whatever that is right now. And I want to affirm that it's not just once in your life, it is always. It's always God is calling you. Always God is calling you. And you may have a ministry that you're involved in, great, but there may be other little things God's calling you to do too. You know, a lot of us are involved in parenting. Hey, that's a big ministry, but there may be other things too. But that's the first thing. Instead of focusing on fears and faults, focus on your forgiveness. Focus on the fact that all that guilt you may feel, and the older you get, the more things you've done wrong, the more of that there's there that you have to get over. And you have to say, okay, I am forgiven from that. And as he says now, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. In other words, we're not a debtor to the flesh. We don't owe all those things that we did that we're ashamed of, that are not our best moments. We don't owe them anything. They don't define who we are. That's what we said in the assurance of pardon. They don't. Our sins, our mistakes, and shortcomings don't define who we are. But what defines us is that we are children of God. And then the third focus is we can focus on our faults and fears. We can focus on our forgiveness, and we can focus on our faith that you received the Spirit of God, not to fall back into fear. Don't fall back into that blaming of yourself again, of saying, that time I did that, that's me, that's my worst thing, and I'm not worthy, I can't do anything. Because we are all sinners. It's the craziest thing, we stay sinners. You know, we never get, it was Augustine who had, he said that we start life, posse peccari, able to sin. And then in the fall, we go into not able to sin, non posse, not peccari. And then when we get the Holy Spirit in us and we walk in with Christ and we become a Christian, we have this situation where we are posse, non peccari, which is able not to sin. We're able not to sin, but we probably will. And so we are going to keep on sinning, and it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect, and you're going to have to deal with it, and I've got to deal with this imperfect ministry that we do, and that's all God has to work with as sinners. That's all God has to work with. And I had a church one time where a lot of people were related to each other. There's two main families, and a lot of them are listening on radio right now, so I'm not naming names, but we would have several family members on the session, and when they had a big family reunion, the next day, Monday morning, I'd get a call from one or two who wanted to resign from the session because they get in this big argument at the family thing, and then they call me and say, God can't use somebody who thinks the way I do about so-and-so. And I'm like, you know what? God can use you, and I need you on my session. But that was, we do that. And what we're trying to do is, instead of focusing on that, focus on our faith, that we receive the Spirit of God not to fall back into fear. Recently, I don't know, it was a couple months ago, there was a thunderstorm, powerful thunderstorm that passed through Laurinburg early in the morning. I may have woken up because of the thunder, but I didn't really think about it. And then when I woke up, it was still pretty early, and I got up and I didn't realize that the whole power grid was out, you know? And so I go and you know, the fan in the bedroom's not going around anymore, and the little digital clocks aren't digitizing. And so I go, and what do I do? See if you do this. I start flipping switches. You know, like this, you know, flip, no, and then I go to the next room, and I do it again, you know? And I go, and I turn on the coffee pot like something's going to happen, you know? And it takes me so long to figure out that the grid is out, but I'm flipping these old switches just like it was before. And that's exactly like what happens when we become new people in Christ. We keep believing those old switches are going to be powerful over us. They're going to work. And we're in our new power grid right now. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, these switches and outlets which fueled our old identity are gone, utterly dead. There's no power in them. Maybe leaving the flesh, rendering its switches meaningless, is something like that. Christ's Spirit disrupts a grid which for the most part held us fast. Paul is writing about a massive change that has been inaugurated in Christ through the power of the Spirit, and thus the flesh, its circuits and switches, its power sources, provided the grid which reliably and destructively powered our daily life. The passage encourages us to name and reject the various ways we are confronted with the lie that our identity and self-worth depend on anything other than the triune God's self-giving love for us. Being more successful in our careers, acquiring more followers on social media, or working on our physical appearance will not ultimately fulfill us. Such pursuits, while not necessarily bad, can return us to a state of bondage if we let them define how we see ourselves and others. Life in the Spirit frees us from such judgments so that we can love each other with the same love we receive for God. We keep going back to where we were, but we're not there anymore. Scott Peck wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled, and in it he talks about life maps and how as we are children, we map out what the world is like. And sometimes as we go older, you know, things change. Glaciers recede, new roads come in. But people sometimes never change their life map, and this is the way the world is, and that causes us problems. And if we think we are the way we were, then we're never going to be able to reach out and do ministry for Christ. It's like, you've seen the old thing about how the elephants, they keep them tied to a stake. You see this big elephant, and it's just, there's a little stake in the ground, and the elephant is tied to that stake, and it won't try to pull the stake up. Do you know why? The reason is when that elephant was little, they tied that elephant to a stake. And that little elephant pulled really, really hard but couldn't do it. And he finally gave up. And so then as he got bigger, he never tried again to pull that stake up. And so you have this massive animal held down by this tiny little stake. And that's what our past does to us sometimes. That our past keeps us back from doing these great things for God because we feel like, oh, I did that. I was that. That's who I am. And what this passage is telling us is we are heirs, heirs of everything that Jesus had. That's what's in us. We are children of God in that way. And we didn't deserve it. You know, we didn't. But we're heirs. We inherited it. We have been adopted because not our greatness, because of God's love. And that's why if we can focus on our faith, we can do some great things. We're all a priesthood of believers, and that means every single one of us is called to something. I want you to be thinking about what are you called to? Henry Nouwen was a theologian who was also a teacher at Yale Divinity School, who's a Dutch Reformed teacher, and he, in one of his books, he published the five lies of identity, okay? Five lies, untruths. One, I am what I have. It's not true. Two, I am what I do. Three, I am what other people say or think of me. It's not true. And this is the one I focus on a lot. I am nothing more than my worst moment. As we look back in our lives, we think that moment defines us. It doesn't. And fifth, I'm nothing less than my best moment. What we are, children of God, the Holy Spirit empowering us to do things we could never do on our own. Through the body of Christ and through the presence of the Spirit, we have died to the power of the flesh. And this is my final thing here. Maybe that's the power grid that has fallen out of use. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, those switches and outlets which fueled our old identity have gone utterly dead, and there is no power in them. God is calling you to something today, something new, something maybe a little scary, and you can focus on your fear or faults, or you can focus on your forgiveness, and you can focus on your faith, and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's pray together. Lord, every single one of us have had bad moments. Moments that we'd like to forget, but reach out and grab us at times like this and keep us from living into your forgiveness, into your promise, accusing us of being fake, accusing us of being disingenuous and inauthentic. And yet our identity and our authenticity is you. We are your children. We are heirs. Help us, Lord, to focus on our faith. Help us to focus on the great love and forgiveness that you have for us through your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.